السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Today, inshallah, we will talk about a very, very critical aspect of our deen, which is an aspect that is so critical that it has the potential to decide where we land in the good place or the hot place. And that's why it's very important to understand what this means, what our basic beliefs, our aqeedah is about this matter. And if our beliefs do not match with what is the basic aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah, then it is important for us to change that aqeedah and correct it. And that is the importance of the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is obligatory that when we hear the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we send salat and salam on him. It is sufficient to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not necessary to say it loudly, but it is important and essential to say it when we hear his name. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself that Islam is not the name of a bunch of rituals, some mythological stories, some poetry, and some unsubstantiated beliefs and superstitions supported by a priesthood which begs for a living. Islam is a complete way of life that applies to every aspect of human life and endeavor, be it social, political, moral, spiritual, temporal, or religious, taught by the Creator himself to those who he sent to create order and implement justice on the face of the planet, and for which he sent an instruction manual and a demonstrator to teach people what to do. We are the only people in the world who can say and should say with confidence and pride that we follow a book, the author of which is God himself, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. We are the only people on the face of the planet who can actually say that. It's a tragedy that many of us feel hesitant and apologetic about saying that. To say that we follow a book that was written by God, a book that was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book the author of which is Allah, the creator of the universe, to say that sometimes does not rest easy on our tongues. And if that is the case, then it's a case of a sickness of iman which one must be very immediately correct. We are the only people, subhanAllah, who can actually say this. And we should be able to say that with understanding and with pride. And when I say pride, I don't mean arrogance, I mean confidence. There's a difference between faqr and arrogance, which is kibr. we take faqr in our deen, alhamdulillah. We are very proud and confident that we are Muslims, but we are not arrogant. We do not take kibr and we do not use or countenance kibr in anything, including our iman and our aqeedah. So just I need to make this differentiation. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this deen and about the person he sent in a very clear and categorical tone that all methods other than what he sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with are false and misguided. There's no doubt in terms of the tone and the language and the words and the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with respect to his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتُلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great ni'mah, a great favor, Manallaha, that he conferred a great favor and a great ni'mah on the mu'mineen, on the believers, when he sent among them a messenger. When he sent among them a messenger, Rasulan, and who is the messenger? Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. from amongst themselves. The messenger did not come. The messenger was not an angel. The messenger was not some other superhuman or different from human creature. The messenger was from among them. And Allah says, this is my ni'mah on you and this is my fadl on you, that I sent a messenger from amongst yourselves, reciting unto them the ayat of the Quran. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. وَيُزَكِّهِمْ purifying themselves, purifying those people, تَسْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ instructing them and explaining to them the meaning of those ayat which they have heard, and وَالْحِكْمَةِ and to teach them the tarbiyah wal-sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And Allah says, before this, they were in manifest error. They were all misguided. What does it tell us? It tells us that there is only one way to reach Allah. All roads may lead to Rome. They do not lead to Jannah. There is only one road which leads to Jannah. You decide you want to go to Rome or to Jannah. There is only one road which leads to Jannah. And that road is the road by road on which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about and on which he travels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that his messenger was a blessing for all people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further said in Suratul Jum'ah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Same mazmoon, same meaning of the previous ayah, where Allah said that He is the one who sent among the unlettered ones a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst themselves, reciting to them His ayat, purifying them, teaching them the book, and al-hikmah, the tarbiyah wal-sunnah. And verily they had been before that in manifest error and completely and totally misguided. We see from these ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with four clear jobs, each one different from the other. What are these four jobs? Number one, yatlu alayhim ayati. Recite the revelation to the people who understood the language. The Quran came in Arabic, and the Quran was being recited by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arabic to people who were not just Arabs and knew the language. They did not know Arabic like we know Urdu. We hardly know Urdu. We can speak like one sentence in Urdu. Although we are supposed to be Urdu speaking. Yes? If I ask, especially some of the younger generation, if I ask you, do you know any Urdu poetry, you will not even know one line. Or you will not know a line which can be repeated in polite company. But that Arabs were not like that. The Arabs knew hundreds of lines of poetry. They were the masters of their language. They were the masters of their language to the extent that in arrogance they used to call everyone else, a non-Arab speaking, they used to call them ummi, they used to say dumb. They have no language, they are like animals. The statement of arrogance, we don't say that's a good thing, but they used to say this. They say everybody, all other people, ummi. They said these people are dumb. They have no language. Why? Because they can't speak Arabic. There were people who were so proud of their language. They were narrators of poetry who would recite poetry. Filbadi, they would stand and recite 100 lines of poetry in praise of some king. Just like that, they would stand and recite the poetry. To such people, the Quran came. The point I'm making is that the Quran didn't come to people who needed explanation. The Quran came to people who were masters of that language. And the Quran blew them away. It blew them away. When they read the Quran, they said, this is not the word of a human being. Who is saying this? An expert is saying it. There's a big difference, a vast, vast, vast difference between the opinion of an expert about something and between the opinion of lay people. You can obey, you can impress lay people because they don't know any better. Alhamdulillah, you get some appreciation from them. But to speak before an expert, that's not easy. That's very tough because he knows what you are saying. He can analyze you, he can criticize you. And if the expert tells you, look, I've never heard anything like this in my life. This is not the word of a human being. Then we know that those people are speaking from a sign of recognition. Who were the people who made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the moment they saw Musa alayhi salam's stick turn into a snake? Who did that? The magicians. They were experts. They recognized the sign for what it is. For the rest of the people, it appeared like magic. They said, no, this is not magic. We know magic. No one on the face of the planet knows magic better than we. We are the world's greatest experts on magic, and this is not magic. The experts recognized what it was. The rest of the crowd, Firaun was not an expert, the rest of the crowd were not experts. They said, no, this is magic. The magicians, the experts, what did they say? They went in sujood and they say, we make sajda to Musa and the Rabb of Musa. Sajda to Musa, the Rabb of Musa, not the sajda to Musa. They say, we make sajda to the Rabb of Musa and Harun. And that's why the experts in the Quran were the people who testified to the divine nature of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recite the revelation to people who understood the language. Number two, purify them. Yuzakkihim. Purify them internally, their tazkiyah, their beliefs, their minds, their hearts. And purify them externally, their body, their clothes, their society, their circumstances and their situation. Three, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Teach them the book. Teach whom the book? Teach the book to people who already are experts in the language, who have already heard the ayat of the Quran. You might say, well, what is there to teach? Well, obviously, there is something to teach. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have said teach. It shows us that the words of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meaning and explanation of these words are two different things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up in the night. Maybe 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock. A little boy who is there, who is his nephew. Who is actually his cousin. Abdullah bin Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. But he was a little boy, he was about 10 years old. As soon as he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wake up, he runs. He narrates and he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up and he pointed to the sky and he recited the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. From Aman al-Rasul to the end. And he said, while he did that, I ran and got water for him for wudu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his blessed hand on the head of this boy. And he said, O Allah, teach him the ta'wil of the Quran. Teach him the meaning of the Quran. What does it show us? It shows us, number one, that if you want to learn, you have to wake up. If you want to learn and you want, then you can't expect the sheikh to do more work than you. If you want to learn, you have to wake up. A 10-year-old kid should be fast asleep at 2 o'clock in the night. What is he doing waking up and getting water for wudu? Because that 10-year-old kid knows what is important in life. He is focused on the right thing. He is in the khidmat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he knows what is the meaning of khidmah. And what is the benefit of the khidmah? He gets the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second lesson, what is the meaning of saying, oh Allah, teach him the ta'wil of the Quran? He already knows the word of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Abbas was the hafiz Quran. Teach him the meaning of the Quran. The first mufassir of the Summa. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Another one, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. People who dedicated their whole lives to understanding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the person to whom it was sent. Teach them the meaning. And the fourth job that Allah gave, demonstrate to them in action how to implement the instruction that they received. So we understand there are four things with regard to the Quran. There is the words of the Quran. There is the preparation of the person to receive the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one is to understand the meaning of the words of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth one is to understand how to implement what you have understood. Four clear jobs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do. Now obviously, if all of these four things are important, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needed to preserve all of these four things for posterity. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah said, verily it is we who have sent down the dhikr, and surely we will guard it against corruption. Please notice, Allah did not say, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah did not say that. Allah used the word Quran in different places. But in this ayah of Surah Al-Hijr, Allah did not say, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Because this is the one of the claims of the people who deny the hadith, who say that the Quran is sufficient for us. And Allah promised to guard the Quran, not anything else. Well, you must tell them, read the Quran. Read the Quran before you make these claims. Allah could have said, did anybody stop Allah from saying, Inna nahnu nazzalna al-Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Quran. Afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran am ala qulubin aqfaluha? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Quran. He said, do they not reflect on the Quran, or is it that their hearts are sealed or locked? Allah did not say, afala yatadabbaruna al-dhikra? No, Allah said, afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran. The problem with not understanding Arabic is that all of this is lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah said, afala yatadabbaruna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. What is the dhikr? The dhikr is the words of the Quran. The dhikr is the meanings of those words. The zikr is the instructions of how to apply those meanings of the Quran. All of these three things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna lahu lahafizun. Verily we will protect it. So how did he protect it? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect it? And think about this. Was it necessary for Allah to protect it? Because the issue is that the Quran is not just an intellectually interesting book that we should try to read when we have some time. Right? Is it like that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a book. So like I read something else, you know, oh, I got a nice interesting book. Let's try to read it once in a while when we have some time. Intellectually it's interesting. It's got some issues of grammar. We can study them if we feel like it. Is that our aqidah about the Quran? Is this why Allah sent the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran to be read, to be understood, to be implemented in our lives, and if it is not done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to put them on a slow barbecue for the rest of time in the fire. Now obviously, if you are going to put a condition and say, here is the book that you must read, you must understand, and you must implement, otherwise you will be punished, then it would be grossly unfair if that book is preserved only in a piece, where only the words are preserved and the rest of it is not preserved and it is allowed to be corrupted, yet we are held accountable for and we will be punished if we do not apply it. SubhanAllah, this is injustice. I mean, you tell us Aqimus Salah, but you don't tell us what is Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Aqimus Salah 73 times or more in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even say once what is the meaning of Salah. Not even once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even tell us once what is the method of this salah, which is so important that he has to reinforce it 73 times. Aqimus salah, aqimus salah, aqimus salah. So now if only the thing preserved is aqimus salah, and the methodology of salah has been lost and corrupted, then it would be grossly unfair for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold us accountable on the day of judgment, and to throw us in the hellfire, and to say that you are a kafir because you left salah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unjust? What is our aqidah about Allah? Is he unjust? So the logical explanation, if you need logical explanations, of course there is also historical proof, but even if you want logical explanation, is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding us accountable for the thing, then he preserved everything. And that is actually a fact. So how was the meaning and the methodology of the Quran preserved? I'll give you a very simple example from Salah itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus Salah. He did not tell us how to perform Salah. But he taught his Nabi how to perform Salah. So what did the Nabi say? The Nabi said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. He did not say, Sallu kama yaqulu jalla wa ala. He did not say, pray like Allah told you to pray. He said, no. He said, pray like you see me pray. He said, pray like you see me pray. And he described the salah. And he demonstrated the salah. And he said aloud in the salah, even things normally we do not say aloud in the salah, for people to learn the tasbihat in the ruku and the sujood and so on. How do you think we know? Because he recited them loudly. And then he told us, this is for your instruction. When you are praying, do not recite them loudly. He taught us what invalidates salah. He taught us what to do if we make a mistake in salah. He taught us which mistake can be rectified by sajda soho. And he taught us which mistake cannot be rectified by the sajda soho, but we have to repeat the salah. He taught us what to do if we miss a salah. He taught us what to do if we are traveling and we need to combine salawat. He taught us which salawat can be combined and which cannot be combined. Not a single one of this and not a single one I can recite, I can tell you this forever. But we are in Jum'ah, so I'm not going to tell you forever. Not any of this is in the Quran. Not any of this is in the Quran which is recited in Salah. The Quran does not even say recite Quran in Salah. Ajib, Allah said Aqimu Salah. Alright, so I'm going to establish Salah. What do I do? You don't know. Go to the Nabi, go ask him. No, I can't ask the Nabi. You can't ask the Nabi, you can't make Salah, khalas. And if you don't make Salah, what happens to you? Barbecue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish sawm. Kutiba alaykumu siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. How to establish siyam? How to fast? Allah told us the timing, from this time to this time. From the time you can see the threat to the time you cannot see the threat. But what to do? Should we eat suhoor? What should we eat in suhoor? Should we make futur? What should we do? What happens during my fast if I bleed? What happens during my fast if I vomit? Is my fast valid? Not valid. What happens in my fast if by mistake I eat, and I not just eat a small thing, I eat a full meal. I forgot that I was fasting. What happens to my fast? Are these things important? Yes or no? Absolutely critical, because if you don't know that, you cannot be fasting. Your fast is not accepted because it's invalid. Allah Allah, what you did, whether your fast was valid, not valid, we don't know. You say, I did not have sexual relations with my wife because I'm not married, but I masturbated, or accidentally I ejected some seminal fluid. What happened to my fast? Go ask the Nabi. Go ask the Nabi. That's the only way you're going to learn. That's the only way you will find out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish Hajj. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you have the means. Alright, so I have the means, I land up in Masjid al-Haram. Now what? I land up in Masjid al-Haram in Ramadan. Right, so Allah said, make Hajj, I'm going to make Hajj. What is a better time to make Hajj than Ramadan? MashaAllah, you know, last 10 days of Ramadan, beautiful time, lovely. I have come to make Hajj, because Allah said, make Hajj. This is a good time in last 10 days of Ramadan. I'm going to make Hajj. Is Hajj valid? So who tells us when to make Hajj? Who tells us what to do in Hajj? Who tells us how to make Tawaf? Who tells us that Sa'i is part of the Arkan of Hajj? Who tells us what is Ihram? Who tells us what invalidates Ihram? Who tells us what, when you can take off your Ihram and in which condition you cannot take off your Ihram? And that is why Allah said, establish the Hajj. And his Nabi said, Khudu anni manasikakum. He said, learn from me what to do. Learn from me the manasik of Hajj. The hadiths were preserved in exactly the same way as the Quran was preserved. What are the ways? Four ways. Number one, memorization. Remember, you're talking about people who loved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than they loved their own lives. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and I'm not saying it, Allah said it. Walladina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. Allah said the iman, people of iman. Who are the people of iman? Who are the alladina amanu in the Quran? The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said ashaddu hubban lillah. He said these are the people who love Allah more than anybody else, more than anything else. These people loved Allah. So the kalam of Allah for them was the best thing in the world. The explanation of the kalam was the best thing in the world. So they memorized every word that came out of the mouth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First method in which the Quran and the hadith and the sunnah were preserved was through memorization. Number two, through discussion. The revelation was breaking news. The revelation was breaking news. You have a beautiful hadith of this little boy in one of the tribes living out of Makkah before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah. This little boy says that I used to ask people would come out from Makkah, the travelers, and they would pass by our tribe. And when they passed by, the first question people would say is, what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And remember, these people are not Muslim at that time. They are not Muslim. They are asking a question. What has been revealed to Muhammad? What is Muhammad saying that he received? And then the travelers would repeat the ayat of the Quran. Now these travelers did not sit there and they don't say, they didn't memorize like that. They memorized because this was the ability of unlettered people. They memorized everything. They memorized contracts. They memorized sale deeds. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually revealed ayat to say that when you have a sale deed or an agreement, write it down? Why did he say that? Not because of the problem with memory, but in order to prevent people from going back on their word. People memorize entire books. If I tell you the stories, again, Jummah is not the time for it, but if I tell you the stories of the prodigious memories of the people of the past, you will be absolutely amazed. We can't even remember 3 telephone numbers. Somebody asked me my number. I said, I forgot. He said, how can you forget your own number? Because I said, I never call myself. But the point is that today we can't even remember 2 phone numbers. But some of us who are old like me, we remember a time when we could remember many things. Why? Because we didn't have gadgets. We had to remember. Now people who, of the past, people remembered entire books. So this little boy, he must have been about 7 or 8 at that time. He says when people would come out of Makkah, we would ask them what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they would say, this is what he said. He said some time passed. And after that, my father took a delegation from this tribe to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we accepted Islam. And then he asked his father, what should we do? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, establish salah. So the father said, well, you know, we understand, but we don't know much Quran. He said, who should lead the salah? He said, the one who knows most Quran. And this little future sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when they found out in the tribe, I was the one who knew the most Quran. This 7 or 8 year old kid. How did he learn Quran? By just listening to travelers. By just listening to travelers. So he was made the imam. 7 or 8 year old imam. Now this does not mean now you get 7 or 8 year old people to lead salah. This is a question of darura. At that time that was the only person available. So he, this 7 year old boy, was made imam. And subhanAllah, is a beautiful story of the seerah. He said that in the back of my thobe, there was a tear. So he said, one day when I was finished leading salah, a woman stood up in the back and she said, what kind of imam is this? When he bends down, we see everything. So he said, my father went and bought me a new shirt. And he said, I was the happiest person on the face of the earth that the knowledge of Quran got me a new shirt. SubhanAllah, imagine this 7 year old kid who is leading salah for his whole tribe. Memories. Memorization. Second, as I said, discussion. People used to discuss what was revealed, what did he say, what is the meaning of that, how do we understand it, and so on. Discussion. Third method of preservation was what? The hadith and the Quran were the source of law. As I explained to you, in terms of salah, in terms of hajj, in terms of zakat, in terms of sacrifice, and so on and so forth. What was the law? People used to say, well, this is the ayah. What is the ruling? This is the ruling. This is the ruling of the ayah to come and apply this ayah in this way. The Quran and the hadith have been the source of law from the times of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing new about it. From that time, this is the source of law. And the fourth and most important way is practical application. Practical application. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, he said that it took him 12 years to memorize Suratul Baqarah. And when he finally memorized it, he was so happy that he slaughtered a camel and he invited the whole of Medina to a dinner. So they asked him, they said, you know, why did it take you 12 years? And subhanAllah, we have got in our country people who memorize the whole Quran. They went not one Surah Al-Baqarah, the entire Quran in 1 year. Even an average Hafiz does it in 2 years. 3 years is absolutely the maximum. 3 years, Hafiz guaranteed. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who listened to the words of the Quran from the blessed tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, took 12 years. They asked him why. And he is a Sahibul Kalam, he is an Arab himself, he knows the language. They asked him why. He said, because of the way we memorized. And this is true of all the Sahaba. He said, we would take 10 ayats from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We would take 10 ayats. We would memorize those ayats, we would discuss them, we would understand them. If we had doubts, we would go back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and clarify those doubts and so on. And if there were any ahkam, any rules and regulations in those ayats, we would actually practice them in our lives. And when we got that perfect, we would go for the next 10 ayats. I tell you, people who applied it like that, what was the possibility of forgetting anything? How can you forget what you are doing every single day? And not just doing, remember, these are people of taqwa, muttaqeen. There is no one who has higher taqwa than the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. People of taqwa, people who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who learned how to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who see the blessed face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis. People who go and sit in his khidmah on a daily basis. These are the people. How would they forget? How would they corrupt? How would they change anything? Subhanallah. And that's why in hadith, all sahaba are thiqah. We do not question the word of any sahabi. You question only people who came after the sahaba. You apply the rules of thiqah, of somebody whether he is reliable or not, to people after the sahaba, not the sahaba. All sahaba are thiqah. Alhamdulillah. Four ways. Exactly the same way in which the Quran was preserved. Now you might say, well, in that case, why is there this fitna today where there are people walking around in our city as well as in other places in the world saying that the hadith has been corrupted and we cannot take the hadith and reject the hadith, and they reject either some of the hadith or they reject the whole of the hadith. They pick and choose what they want and some of them reject everything together. Why is this fitna? Very simple. Very simple. From day one, what did Shaitan want to do? Shaitan and his agents, Shayateenum minal ins, the Shaitans in human form, what did they want to do? Wipe out the deen of Allah. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yuriduna liyutfiu noor Allahi bi afwahihim, wallahu mutimmu noorihi walau karihal kafirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they want to put out the light of Allah by blowing on it like a candle. We blow and the light goes off. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is not a candle. It will not go off because you blow on it. He says, Allah will complete his noor, complete his light and his guidance and his hidayah, even though the kafirun do not like it. Same fitna. So what did they do? Now they cannot attack the Quran directly. So what do? They attack those people who preserve the Quran, the sahaba. They say, Abu Hurairah is unreliable. One man comes to me and says, are you saying that Abu Hurairah cannot make a mistake? I said, are you saying you cannot make a mistake? He tells me, I said, what about these? I was talking about some issues of hadith. So I said, Imam Abu Hanifa said, he said, so what? He said, so what? Abu Hanifa said, so what? Subhanallah, ajeeb, eh? Trash Abu Hanifa, trash Shafi, trash Malik, trash this one, trash that one. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. This is deen. This is deen. Alright, so we trash everybody. And who should we accept now and who should we follow now? You. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I will rather follow Abu Hanifa's donkey than follow you, man. Where is the question of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinforced the authority of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He reinforced his authority to make laws and to give instructions, to permit and prohibit matters. But before he did that, he assured us that his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his own volition, does not speak of his own will and desire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He said, my Nabi does not speak of his own desire, of his own hawa. He says, whatever he speaks is a revelation from me. It's only a revelation that is sent to him. He only says what is revealed to him. Now, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say only what was in the Quran, or did he explain the Quran also? So obviously it means, and this is one of more than 19 or 20 ayahs in the Quran, which are proof of two kinds of revelation. Which is called wahi matlu, which is the wahi which is recited in the salah, and wahi ghair matlu, which means the wahi which is not recited in salah. Both are wahi. Both are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the words, and the other one is the explanation and the meaning of the ahkam which are revealed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what to do with what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us. He said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever my Nabi gives me, take it. And whatever he stops you from, stop. And fear Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. The ayah came with regard to the distribution of ghanima. But we know the usul of the Quran, that if an ayah comes with a general meaning, then it applies not only to the circumstances of the revolution, but it applies to everything till the end of time. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوا وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Completely unbounded, unqualified, general statements. Everything my Nabi says is wahi. Take whatever he gives you. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, listen to my Nabi when he speaks with regard to salah and sawm and zakat and so on, but as far as other things are concerned, you don't have to bother. Did Allah say that? Now tell me, why would Allah not say something like that? Because of the statement with which I began my lecture today. This religion of ours is not a bunch of rituals to be recited or to be performed in the name of prayer. This religion of ours, alhamdulillah, is a complete way of life that covers every aspect of human being and human endeavor. And therefore, obviously, it needs to have, and it does have, instructions with regard to ibadah. But it also has instructions with regard to everything else in life. Because the religion is not restricted to ibadah, the instructions about the religion are not restricted to ibadah. They encompass everything else in life. And that is the beauty of this deen. That if you practice this deen with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every action becomes ibadah. I have mentioned this in a previous khutbah. So if those of you who heard that would remember it, those of you who don't remember it or didn't hear it, go to the website and download it and then listen to it. How to make every action of yours an ibadah. Every action of ours, how to make it an act of worship. And that's possible only because we get instructions for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we have instructions for everything. A marriage that is done with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which is done in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that marriage is an act of worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for. Where did these rules come from? The same marriage, when it is done, bringing in customs and practices from other religions and other ways, which is done with the idea of impressing people ostentatiously, which is done with israf, the same marriage becomes a source of haram, it becomes a source of punishment, it becomes a source of hisab that you have to give before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where did these rules come from? The preservation of the hadith, the preservation of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on. First he made these statements without boundaries, saying everything my Nabi says is wahi. Take anything he gives you. obey everything he tells you without any reservations and without any differentiation between this and that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by himself. There is no greater authority than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by himself. And he says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجٍ مِمَّا خَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. In Surah Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but no, by your Rabb, Allah is saying by myself, by your Rabb, they do not have faith. They are not Muslim. They can have no faith until they make you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judge in all disputes before them. And not only do they accept your judgment verbally, but even in their hearts, they do not find any resistance against your decisions. And they accept them with full submission. Yusallimu taslima. A conditional ayah. Obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything which he says is made a condition of Islam. What does it mean if somebody says, well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have given this ruling, but you know, I don't think it applies to our day today. What does it mean? What does it mean? Excuse me. You are awake. What does it mean? Eh? No faith. Exit from faith. Murtad, irtidad, kafir. He has exited Islam. A man came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he said, Amirul Mu'minin, he's not Amir. At that time he was not Amir. He asked him, Ya Umar ibn al-Khattab, what is your ruling in such and such a matter? So Sayyidina Umar said, did you come to me first or did you go anywhere else before? He said, no, I went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him the same question. He told me something, but I have now come to ask you. So he said, all right, I will tell you. He went inside, brought his sword and he chopped his head off. People said, Subhanallah, you just killed a Muslim. He said, I did not kill a Muslim. He said, I killed a murtad. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, does not have Islam unless he accepts the ruling of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without question, without even anything in his heart. This man has got a ruling from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is he asking me for a ruling? For what? They complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what I did is right. The ayah of the Quran, vehement, just think about this. If this ayah referred only to temporal judgments, land dispute, this dispute, inheritance dispute, whatever, the judge gives an order. And if somebody says, well, you know what, I don't accept the order of the judge. Right? At the most, you might say, well, contempt of court or something. Beyond that, you can't say the man is a kafir. You can't say he's exited Islam. Can you say that? You can't say that. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this? Fala wa rabbika. La yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum. Why is Allah saying that? Because the ahkam, the rulings of the Nabi, are things of Islam in terms of the Sharia. The ruling of the Nabi is divine like the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Nabi does not rule by himself, the Nabi rules what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to rule. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they don't accept your ruling, they are not accepting my ruling. What is the dalil in the Quran? That the obedience to the Nabi is obedience to Allah. What is the dalil in the Quran? I'm not going anywhere near the hadith. Because if you want to prove or disprove something, you have to do it from outside that base. And that's why I'm talking only about the Quran. What is the proof that obedience to the Nabi is obedience to Allah? What does the Quran say? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ. Surah Nisa. Allah said, the one who obeyed the messenger, truly he has obeyed Allah. Does it mean that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is Allah? Na'udhu billah? This is the other problem. You got two kinds of problems. You got one problem of people who devalue the actual position of Allah, of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say, well, you know, he was a messenger. He was like a postman. He came and he gave this book and he went away. Khalas, why do we bother with the postman? Let's look at the book. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Anyone who uses these words or anything to implying that is a kafir, is a murtad, he has left Islam.
On the other hand, you've got the other lot. Who say the Nabi, oh, parde ke piche bhi wahi, parde ke aage bhi wahi. They bring a maudu hadith, a false hadith, fabricated hadith. Ana min nurillahi wa kullu shayin min nuri. Which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said. They invented and they manufactured this hadith. They said, I am from the noor of Allah and all of creation is from my noor. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu nooru samawati wal ard. Without any shareholders. Which is major shirk. And if you believe that, then you have exited Islam, except by a different door. One exited through the door of kufr, and you exited through the door of shirk, but both exited Islam. We say about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mean not only me and anyone who is from the correct aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. We say about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about himself, and what his Rabb said about him. We do not say about him that which we invented or somebody else invented. No. What did his Rabb say about him? Qul, say, Ana basharum mithlukum yuha ilayya. Go and say, I am a human being like you and I get wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of you who are coming to the Aqidah class, we will examine all of this in complete detail. So come to the Aqidah class tomorrow and day after tomorrow. But for us here, very important. Don't fall into shirk and don't fall into kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who does not believe, exit from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us adab. He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yadayillahi wa rasulihi wa attaqullah. Inna allaha sami'un alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in the next ayah, he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض ان تحبط اعمالكم وانتم لا تشعرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not put yourself forward before Allah and his Nabi. And he said, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Nabi. And if you do that, what will happen to you? Allah said, Allah will wipe out all your deeds. What happens to somebody who lands up on the day of judgment without any deeds? The hellfire. For what? For raising your voice over the voice of the Nabi. There is a literal meaning to this which the Sahaba understood and practiced. And I don't have the time to tell you the stories of the seerah, beautiful stories. But just understand the meaning of it. There's a literal meaning, but there's a meaning that continues and will continue to the day of judgment. What is the meaning of raising your voice above the voice of the Nabi in today's world? What does it mean? It means that when the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is presented before you, when a sahih hadith is presented before you, you say either you say I do not accept, or you say, well, you know what, I have a different opinion. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about these people with a different opinion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on the day of judgment, you will come with your slate wiped clean. And you will be on a greased slide into the pit. Simple as that. Tahbata amaluhum. Your deeds will be wiped out. No matter how many millions you gave in charity, no matter how many hajj you did, no matter how many masajid you built, no matter what you did, it will all be wiped clean because you raised your voice over the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You and your deeds have no meaning because the money that you spent in the path of Allah was Allah's money. It was not your money. You did not create this money from some source other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the money, therefore you could spend it. Allah gave you the money, Allah also put it in your heart to spend the money in that particular way. That is why you spent it. So stop feeling great about it. Stop feeling great about it. There are many people in the world who have got 1,000 times more money than you have, who are doing 1,000 times more good, as well as those who are doing 1,000 times more haram. All of that is whatever is their qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you spend some money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah. What is the position of the Muslim? To give, to do good deeds and make tawbah. Not to do good deeds and talk about it and say, I spent so much. Big deal. So what? If you spend so much with one hand, and with the other hand, you were disrespectful to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You denied his ahadith. You said when he had an opinion, when he said something. And let me give you a very simple example. And I won't give you the example which you normally expect me to give you. I'll give you another one. That one is a very severe example. I won't give you that. I'll give you a small one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wear your trouser above your ankle. And what do we tell? our children and people who come to teach our children today. We tell them, don't tell them all these useless things about raising your trouser and all that. Not good for our modern ways of dressing. You know what you just did? You just exited Islam. Simple. You just exited Islam. Make tawbah and re-enter Islam. And if you are married, go get married again, because your marriage got annulled as well. Please understand, if you exit Islam, you won't suddenly grow two horns and a forked tail or something. Right? You will know whether you are inside Islam or outside Islam when Malakul Maut comes and says, Salaam Alaikum, time to go. Then you will know. But by that time, it is too late. At that time, it's too late. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about this disease that we have today, which was there among the munafiqun. We still have the munafiqun also today in this world. We don't call them munafiq because it's a specific term related to people of that time. But nifaq is there. And what was the disease of the munafiqin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ أَن يَتَّقِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوَا أَهَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they see you, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they treat you as a mockery. They mock at you and they say, is this the one who Allah sent as the messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, what is the excuse they give you? If you ask them, if somebody is speaking disrespectfully about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if somebody is speaking disrespectfully about the hadith, and you ask them, what do they tell you? What do the inheritors and the heirs of the munafiqin, what do they tell you today? They say, no, my mazak se bola sahab, I didn't mean it. Yes? Allah says that exactly in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا إِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِيُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَّرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبْ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you ask them about this, they say, no, we were only talking idly and we were only joking. Allah says, say to them, was it Allah and His ayat and His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you were mocking? Allah says, make no excuse, you have disbelieved. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You have become kuffar after you had been Muslims. You have become murtaddeen. And this is the fatwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not my fatwa. It's the ruling of Allah. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ. Allah used the word قَدْ, which is a word of emphasis. Verily and truly, you have become kuffar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will punish. And then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُوذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily those who annoy Allah and His messenger. What is the meaning of annoying Allah and His messenger? It means to speak against the ahkam of Allah and to speak against the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, those who annoy Allah and His messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter and has prepared for them a humiliating torment. Allah then told us what to do. Allah told us what to do. Who are the us? Us are the people who are the companions of such people. People who are the relatives of such people. People who are the colleagues and employers of such people. People who are the friends of such people. What are they supposed to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزِئُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُ فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ. Inna Allaha jamiul munafiqina wal kafirina fi jahannam jami'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it has already been revealed to you in the Quran that when you hear the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being denied and mocked at, what are the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The words of the Quran and its explanation are ayat of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the ayat of the Quran are being mocked and when they are being criticized and denied, then do not sit with them until they change the topic. But if you stayed with them, certainly Qad, again Allah used the word, certainly you will be like them, you will be counted among them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely Allah will collect the hypocrites and the disbelievers all together in Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّقِذُوا الَّذِينَ تَخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَالْكُفَّارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, O you who believe, do not take as your friends those who make your religion into a mockery and fun from among those who received the scripture before you, or from the disbelievers, and fear Allah if you are true believers. Today we see people mocking the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we see people denying the mi'raj. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Denying the mi'raj is denying the Quran itself. So on the one hand you say you follow the Quran, and the other hand you deny the mi'raj. You say, no, but this happened, that happened, he went in a dream and so on. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, I took my Nabi. Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa allazi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as samiul basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I took my Nabi. He did not say my Nabi saw this in a dream. So if you think that this was a dream, then please tell me, what is the difference between you and Abu Jahl? What is the difference? Because that is exactly what Abu Jahl said. That is exactly what the mushrikeen and kuffar of Makkah said. They said he's dreaming. They said this was not true. And what is the position of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? The statement of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, my brothers and sisters, is the foundational principle of authentication of hadith. What did he say? He said, if he said it, I believe it. Subhanallah. That's the position of the Ahlul Sunnah. If he said it, meaning what? By all means, do your investigation. By all means, authenticate the hadith. We are not saying to you that anyone comes and says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, therefore you have to believe it because I am saying it. No. By all means, do your research. But once you know that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, and that's what we mean by this ahadith of sahiha, the sahih ahadith which are there, the mutawatir ahadith and the other forms of sahih ahadith which are there, once a sahih hadith comes before you, if you deny that, then you are on the manhaj of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and not on the manhaj of Abu Bakr and Umar. Please decide, my brothers and sisters, please decide who you want to be with, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment you will be resurrected with those who you loved. If you have anyone in your acquaintance, in your organizations, among your friends, in your family, who make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who deny his ahadith, who try to tell you that the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not applicable anymore today, who try to tell you that the ahkam of the sharia are old fashioned in the modern world, it doesn't work. If they try and tell you any of these things, run like hell from there. Run. Don't even walk. Get away, because the fire of Jahannam will come on their head, and if you are sitting next to them, it will also come on your head. If they are in your organization, sack them. Or sack yourself. Get out of there. Get out of there. If they are in your family, call them and tell them, change your aqidah now. Otherwise, my daughter is no longer your wife. My son is no longer your husband. I call them back, talaq. Because in any case, you are a kafir. That marriage is not valid anymore. If they are your own children or your own parents, go and tell them, change your aqidah, otherwise I am no longer your son and I am no longer your father. Again, not my rulings. I told you the specific ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you and me to do this. I am not asking you to obey me, obey Allah. You don't have to account to me, you have to account to Allah, believe it or not. The authority of the sunnah has been established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been established without any limits. It has been established without any reservations. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our imam. He is our qaid. He is our sayyid. And he is our nabi. And we follow him bil ihsan insha'Allah ila yawmiddin. And we do whatever he told us to do without reservation. We follow anything which he told us to follow without any differentiation and without any hold, barring any holds. And we are against, and we are the sworn enemies of anyone who is disobedient of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who is disrespectful of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who denies the ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who denies the importance of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are their sworn enemies, and we will remain their sworn enemies until they change their religion or until we die. Whichever is first. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيمين. We are a little bit over time today, but alhamdulillah, this is an important issue, and I wanted to complete this here because next week I'm not here. So we said, let me finish this whole thing in 1 week, and that's why we've taken a few more minutes. May Allah accept this from us and reward us for that. Now I request all of you brothers to come, please stand up, move here to this side so that we get space for people who are standing in the doorway and